Welcome back to the Business Systems Summit. I'm your host, David Jennings, and in this session, we're going to be chatting with Pete Williams. Now, Pete is one of two people to actually come back to the summit because last time he shared a system that he's not really well known for, and I wanted him to come back and talk about something that he's more well known for, which is his Seven Levers framework. Now, he wrote a book, a best-selling book called Cadence, which tells the story of a bike shop owner who finds a mentor and gets guided through the application of these seven levers. And the seven levers, it's a framework and can be broken down into a system to apply it to your business. And that's really what I want Pete to share as part of this particular session. Now, the book has gone on to win some wide acclaim around the world and won loads of different awards. It's prompted Deakin Uni to actually reach out to Pete and then get him to teach this process through to their business students. And they even gave him the title of Professor of Practice, which is pretty cool.
Ridiculous.
So it's a very powerful system, and I can't wait for him to share it with us. I've had the good fortune to know Pete for over 20 years now, watched him build up multiple very highly successful businesses, everything in e-commerce all the way through to telecommunications. So he's a high performer, super sharp dude, all around nice guy. So with great pleasure, I'd like to welcome back Pete to the summit.
Thanks, buddy. I feel like I want to watch this presentation now. That guy sounds incredible.
So he is.
But I'll take it.
I know there's going to be a lot for us to cover, and we'll go through actually setting up the framework for the seven levers, and then we're going to actually get you to share a system on how you can do a health check on the business. But maybe just as a way to start, if you can just let us know, I suppose, the problem that this particular system and framework aims to solve for business owners. And then, yeah, let's walk through it step by step.
Yeah, sounds good. I think for a lot of business owners, the problem is like they know their craft really well. So they're really good on the tools or whatever it is that they're doing, whether you're a hairdresser or you run an online consulting business or an e-commerce store, like you know your thing, you know your product, your service really, really well. But the difference between, you know, being a great plumber and running a great plumbing business is worlds apart. So I think a lot of business owners, they struggle to actually work on their business. They may have read or heard of the E-Myth and the whole idea of working on your business rather than in it. And they get that whole concept to get off the tools. But a problem a lot of people have is like, okay, now I'm off the tools. What do I actually focus on? What are the things I should be doing when I'm working on my business? And the Seven Levers framework is basically that. It gives you an idea and a bit of focus of the seven things that drive profit in a business, no matter what you are, whether you're a masseuse or you're a high-end SaaS provider like System Hub or something in between. The seven levers are the core drivers of your profit. And identifying what they are, it gives you that framework of focus that every week you can come in and go, okay, I'm working on my business today. It's Monday afternoon. Here's what I'm going to work on this week. And then next week, here's the next lever to work on. And it gives you that system to follow as you're trying to work on and grow the profit of a business.
Yeah, I think that's what I like about it most. It's in business, there's 100 things that you could be doing, and it's classic 80-20. How do you figure out what is that small percentage that's going to give the biggest leverage point and the canvas that you're going to walk us through? It works almost like putting your business underneath a microscope so you can go, ah, here's a problem. Let's double down and fix this problem before you zoom back up, take the business at sort of like a whole level, and then again, find the next area to zoom in on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was hearing someone speak recently, and they run a very successful online training program. They have a YouTube channel, which drives a metric ton of traffic to their course, and they sell a course on personal development. And they were talking when they started their business, they were so overwhelmed with all the different things they could do. They really struggled to actually figure out how to grow their business because they had so much choice. There's so many ways to market and grow a business. You can run YouTube, you can do Facebook ads, you can do SEO, you can do content marketing. Like, there's so many different ways to grow. And they were really struggling with this overwhelm of what should I do? And things like the Seven Levers framework provide that bit of focus of going, okay, here are the things that really drive profit. And you can figure out, okay, I want to tweak, grow this area. Okay, I'll do these three things or I can do this. And it gives you that kind of structure which so many business owners need.
Yeah, love it. All right, well, maybe let's jump in. I'd love to get an idea or get you to explain the framework and the canvas and then take us through that system that you've developed on how to do a health check.
Awesome, cool. Well, let me share my screen because that's probably the best way to kind of communicate and sort of show the framework. I did think about getting the whiteboard behind me and drawing stuff up, but my handwriting's terrible and it just would not work. So let me share the screen and we can walk through this process. So Let me just hit play on this and hopefully you can see that beautiful rectangle. Now, that is your business. That is anyone's business. You can tell that that's a business, right? Just a rectangle on the screen. But basically, the whole idea is no matter what business you run, you fundamentally fall into this shape. And really, business is all about the bottom line. You know, obviously, Mike Michalowicz was speaking during the program here about his profit first mentality, which I am a big advocate for. If you haven't read his book or seen that session, highly recommend you go and check it out. Because really, business is all about the bottom line. You're in business to make a profit. So let's start with the bottom line. And then above that, there's three distinct categories that drive the profit through to the bottom line of the business. And again, to start with, there's nothing really magical here. You've got your sales funnel, then you've got your front end revenue, then you've got your back end revenue that drives the repeat business. Now, nothing too amazing here really, but the question is, how much time do you spend actually identifying each of these segments and what makes them? So sales funnel, there's really three components to a sales funnel. You have your suspects, your prospects, and then your conversions. And I think one of the key things for so many business owners is that they don't actually take the time to sit down and clearly identify the difference between suspects and prospects for their business. Most people just consider everything before a customer in the one bucket, and that's the leads bucket. But realistically, there's always a micro commitment or a small step that people take between sort of hearing about your business and actually becoming a customer. Now, when I was at university, I worked at Athlete's Foot, the shoe store chain. And one of the things they did, and they hammered home to us, was that when someone walks into the store to buy a pair of shoes, do not try and sell them a pair of shoes. The first thing you want to do is get them to sit down and try on a pair of shoes. It's that first micro commitment someone makes is going from, you know, a tie kicker or just someone looking to actually getting closer is to try on a pair of shoes. So that first micro commitment was getting someone to become a trial, trying something on. And I think every business has this. Netflix, they really try you to first take a 7-day trial of their service before they actually get you to become a customer and give you their credit card details. And this actually applies to any business. You know, in our telco business here, you kind of mentioned it earlier, we sell phone systems all around Australia. And the way we define the difference is that a suspect is someone who comes and has a phone call with our sales staff. So they interact with our sales team. The next step they take to get closer to becoming a customer is actually getting a proposal or getting a quote from our sales team. So they get on the phone, they're a suspect, but then we have the next step, which is becoming a prospect by receiving a quote. Then we have them something to close and convert and sell, which is then the conversion lever. So there's sort of three steps. And the thing is, there's almost three decisions that people make along that sales funnel is, okay, who am I going to talk to? Perfect. Okay, I'm going to go to Athlete's Foot. Do I want to try on a pair of shoes or not? Do I want to get a quote from this company or not? Do I want to add something to the cart or not? And then it's finally, do I actually purchase? So there's kind of three decisions that I think a lot of people don't think about. And they're three decisions that you can market to, you can communicate to, you can control separately.
That was the first thing that stood out to me right then is each person in each of those different buckets are going to have different questions and conversations going on in their head. So yes, why you want to break them up is so that you can make sure that you're giving them the relevant information for where they're up to in that process.
Spot on. Absolutely. And for some people, I don't really identify these different things, as I kind of mentioned earlier, and that causes problems down the track, which we'll no doubt get to shortly. So then we look at the front end revenue. The other component or the next component here is that the front end revenue, the revenue that your business makes, is really driven by, again, two things: average item price and average items per sale. You know, what is the average item that you're selling and what's the price of that? You know, are you selling a shoe for $100 or $120 or $150? What are you doing to change that average item price? And then you've got the second part of that is average items per sale. When they buy those pairs of shoes, do they buy some socks or a replacement insole or some cleaner? You know, it's completely overused, but would you like fries with that? It's that, what are you doing to actually drive more items per sale? When someone comes and buys a phone system, do they also get offered a headset? You know, there's different things you can do to drive more items per sale. And again, it's a very different decision and conversation and marketing piece you can have in your business that actually leads to greater profits.
Yeah. And I'm imagining, and you'll probably get to this, it almost feels like each one of these segments, because you're quite clear on what each one is, there's probably a metric that can also be associated to each one.
Absolutely. And that's the whole idea. And that's where we get to with the health check stuff, is that we want to start measuring and managing each of these things in isolation. Because what happens is everything is a separate decision and everything is a micro commitment. Everything is a thing you can manipulate in a positive and ethical way. Because traditionally you sort of ask someone, how do you grow your business? Oh, I need to grow profit by getting more suspects. Like, that is a traditional way people always think about when you ask them, how am I going to grow your business? Oh, give me more leads. Give me more and more leads. And they only really think about affecting one lever to grow their business, when in fact there's really seven. So if we keep moving forward, you know, your back end's about transactions. What are you doing to get people to come back and buy from you again? What do you have in place to do that automatically? You know, what are you doing to retain your customers? If you're a SaaS service, what are you doing besides hopefully giving a good experience to drive repeat business, to keep people, you know, on your platform? What are you doing to get people to come back and buy from you again? What is it you're proactively doing to control that? And then finally, you've got your margins. So the thing is that this is the canvas here. There's, no matter what business you've got, you can map these seven areas to your business. And that is what you can control and what is really driving profit. And that's the big thing that I think so many business owners don't take time to consider, is how do all these seven things relate and map to my company? And what are we doing to manipulate, manage, measure, grow each of these things in isolation?
Yeah. And from, I mean, we've had lots of different discussions thinking in terms of, you know, the business systems thinking mindset. Like, when you've got a systems mind and you look at this, each one of these areas, there's a set of subsystems that can help to be installed, which will grow and improve those KPIs. And I know we've talked about many times this idea of building out a collection of, you know, best practice systems for how do you generate your suspects, or what are the ways that you move the prospect through to, you know, becoming a client, or how do you then upsell them? And there's a set of systems underneath each one of these. So I think the reason I like this session, and I want someone, as they watch this, they imagine the framework here as their business, then think about every session that they've listened to as part of the summit, and you'll actually see those sessions fall into these different categories. And as Pete goes through the health check, it'll be a great way for you to identify, well, which systems should you be following first? You do a health check. Oh, okay. Well, I'm weak on these prospects here. Well, now I'll go listen to that session, you know, where there's the sales script, or, hey, we need to look at, you know, improving conversions. Okay. Well, let's have a look at some of the systems related to what was going on the website, or plenty of different ways to cover it.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, one of the things that, back to that athlete's foot analogy as an example, that, you know, they had the greet and seat rules. That was sort of the methodology that they taught us and hammered home to us in the store to sort of drive people through the suspect prospect conversion path. Is it was the greet and seat rules. And it was a system that we were taught to rinse and repeat with every single person who walked into the door. And it was literally a system, and it was shoved down our throats to sort of drink the athlete's foot Kool-Aid, but it worked. Like, athlete's foot are a phenomenal franchise for a particular reason, because they have systems in place and they kind of get the idea of this sort of model.
Yeah. So what's your system then? We get an idea of the framework here, and I'll put links through to the book so you can get a copy of the canvas and download it and start to fill it out. And then I know you're going to kind of take us through that health check.
Yeah, perfect. Well, one of the things before the health check, I think it's worth really reiterating some of the power of this. And this is where we're having a system in place is important from a high level, and a system to actually continually working through the framework of the seven levers. Because if you look at the data on the screen here, it's really interesting. And this is something that we kind of stumbled across, is that if you look at each of these seven areas, you've got them listed at the top of the screen. The left-hand column could be your starting figures, where you are today. So you go through a health check, which we'll talk about, and you do a bit of a pulse check of where you're at, and you work out your numbers. You know, right now we have 17,000 people a month coming to our website, hypothetically. 5% of those people opt in to take our free trial, if we're Netflix, as an example. 45% of people who take up the free trial convert to become customers. Great, here's my stats. The average item price is $90. And on average, people buy one from us per quarter. They come back and buy one pair of shoes a quarter, or whatever the model of the business is. And our profit margin is 40%. So at the end of the day, currently we're making 16.5 grand per period. great, fantastic, you know sort of where your stats are. But if you look in that right-hand column and you just get 7, 10% wins, just small improvements. We're not talking about trying to double your business or anything like that. Just have a system in place that every week, every fortnight, every month, depending on sort of your structure and your schedule and what system you want to put in, you work to increase those things by 10%. Only small 10% wins. We're not trying to double anything here, just small incremental wins. So some of the systems and things you've covered and learnt from the summit so far, you tie in as Dave referenced. Okay, we're going to change our sales scripts. We're going to get our sales staff to convert more prospects to conversion. So we're going to go from a 45% conversion rate to a 49.5% conversion rate, just that small 10% boost. The actual bottom line change is doubling of the profit. It's incredible, just the power of accumulated and marginal gains in that having a system to regularly come back and look at each of these areas in your business and sort of, you know, cycle through them, if you will, systematically, actually gives you a more reasonable goal of achieving 10% wins and the effect of accumulated doubling of your business. And that's what I think is really powerful for that system.
I think what I'll do, I'll try and also map which departments will mostly influence each of these different numbers. Because obviously you've got marketing, that's going to hit your kind of suspects and prospects. Sales, absolutely, that kind of hits your conversion. Also, once you kind of move into with the profit margin and things like that, that's oftentimes to do with your operational type of system. Like, how do you shrink the delivery time? How do you make your team members more effective and get more done with less? Those sorts of things. So these numbers, what I love about them is they map to different departments. And then, as I said, we've got different systems which help then to improve those departments.
Each of those different things. Yeah, it's perfect. Like, this is almost like the blueprint or that foundational thing for other stuff within the summit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, perfect.
So let's talk through this health check. So this is the health check stuff. We kind of talk about it a bit in cadence in the book, but really, I think this is kind of, you know, a really good way to kind of patch it out and show how to work through it, because there's really four steps in this system of doing a health check. Because I think it's really important for every business to at least do a health check to figure out where you are today. If you don't sort of see the value in actually, you know, doing the whole regular 10% win kind of structure across the framework, that's fine, but at least do a health check and use this little mini system of where you actually go. Because the first thing we want to do is we want to clarify where things are at in your business. We want to capture what you're currently doing. We want to calculate the data to work out what your starting figures are and then correct anything that's broken. And we'll walk through those sort of steps now. So the first thing is really clarifying. Because before you can do anything, you need to really clarify what each of these seven levers represent in your business. Every business is slightly different. Although the framework maps to any company, really it's different to you, to me. Like our e-commerce business, for example, the way we define what the micro commitment is that prospects make is actually adding something to their shopping cart. Whereas an athlete's foot store, the micro commitment is getting people to try on a pair of shoes. So the definition and the way you clarify is slightly different per business, but the overall actual process and the framework still maps. So the first step is ideally print out a big copy of the canvas. Dave, as he mentioned, will make that available for download completely free. Download it on A3 or draw it up on a whiteboard in your boardroom with your team. And then grab some post-it notes. That's the first thing, is grab a packet of post-it notes and go through with your team and work out, clarify how you define each of those different areas of the framework in your business. You know, what is a repeat transaction in your business? Is it someone coming back in the store and buying from you again? Or is it someone just, you know, continuing their membership? You know, really, if someone, you know, buys once, but then, you know, buys and is on a monthly retainer or subscription, are they really what's forcing the transactions and things like that? So it's really important to kind of get clarity first of what each of those areas actually are.
A couple of questions around this. One, is there any particular ones that you find people have the most difficulty trying to articulate or to define? Just so we can give some examples or something for the ones that are hardest to define. Because some of them are more clear. Like, I'm thinking things like, you know, margins and number of transactions. For a lot of businesses, that will be more clear. And I'm assuming we're just going to take averages here. Like,
well, you want to look at what's, well, first thing, we're not even doing any math right now. We're just trying to figure out what the heck it is, because we can measure it until we can define it. So right now in this first step, it's just clarifying. And I think it's really important to go, yeah, what are these answers? Because, you know, I think the biggest one is the prospects. A lot of people don't really take time to figure out what is the difference between someone who walks in the door and someone who buys from us. And really, if you work out what's the thing that happens in between, what's the big, and it's a micro command, what's the big change between someone walking into your store and buying from you? You know, for an e-commerce store, for example, it's really, you know, someone who comes to your website is probably a suspect. But when they actually buy from you, they're obviously a conversion. So what happens in between? Well, generally, it's that big add to cart button. So adding a product to your cart will be that prospect stage, because you know, someone can't buy from your store and check out until they've actually first added the product to the cart. So that's kind of the micro commitment in that scenario.
I think that made it like super clear for me there. It's kind of like, what is the point at which they first come into the store or, you know, onto your business website or whatever, and then what the sale is. And as soon as you said what happens in the middle, it was obvious to me. Like I'm thinking of the Planet 13 rock and roll clothing music store we used to have. And the first thing that popped into my head is we would get them into the change room.
So exactly right.
Once you kind of know those two and you think, right, if someone was going to take a middle step, what would that middle step be? That makes it very easy to identify.
Yeah. And if you look at System Hub as a business, if we kind of pull that one apart a little bit, you know, obviously, you know, Netflix free trials, you know, getting that first kind of scenario, speaking to you to get a quote. And if you're that sort of business, getting you to come out and do a free assessment of their concrete, if you're doing a concreting job, or whatever it is, there's always some sort of step in between.
Yeah.
For a lot of online information marketers, it's getting them to download the lead magnet. So someone coming into your website is your suspects, and then getting them to download the lead magnet or that free report is the prospect count or the prospect stage, and then getting that person to buy is the conversion.
Yeah,
so I think that's a big one that a lot of people don't really recognize or differentiate. The other one, ironically, is actually figuring out what an item is. It sounds really basic, but I think a lot of people don't really figure out, okay, what is the item I'm selling? Because, you know, for example, if you're selling a service like System Hub, are you selling a 12-month subscription, or is that the product you're selling, or are you selling 12 one-month subscriptions? And like, really, you have some time. There's no right or wrong answer here. This is the big thing. It's just, as long as you define it and you're confident in your definition, then, and you make it consistent when you're comparing one period versus the other, because the idea is getting growth. So you need to be able to sort of compare them together. Because if you said, okay, I'm selling one item and it's a 12-month subscription and that's your item, then really in a 12-month period, they only ever purchase one. They purchase one thing once a year. Even though you charge a credit card 12 times, they've only really purchased one. If it's a 12-month subscription, is what you're calling your item. Whereas if you define it as, okay, we're selling monthly subscriptions, then one client might buy 12 over a 12-month period because they stay for the whole year. Some clients only might stay for three months. So in a 12-month period, one person transacts 12 times, another one only transacts 3. So it's really important to actually clarify how you define an item, because that affects your average item price, the amount of items you have per sale, and the transactions you actually have.
Using that as the example then, so let's run with System Hub. You said there's no right or wrong answer, so it could be both. I mean, when I think about it, ideally we want to be selling annual subscriptions, because I know systems and processes, it's one of those things that you kind of have to commit to. And I want people to throw their hat over the fence. Like some people, if they dabble and you sign up for a month, then you go, oh, wow, I was too busy. I didn't really get around to doing anything. So I'm going to unsubscribe. Whereas someone, once you're committed for a full year, you're increasing the likelihood of succeeding, because now you've kind of gone, well, I've made a commitment and 12 months to get this thing worked out. So as I'm talking through that, I would jump to probably the annual.
But do people have the option of buying monthly though?
Both. Yes.
So then I would be making the case for you that really the item you sell is a monthly subscription. Sometimes you just try and pre-sell 12 transactions in a contract, but really what you're selling is a monthly subscription, and you're actually selling 12 in a pack.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then items per sale, this is where it gets, you know, takes a bit of time to think it through correctly, because you'd say, well, items per sale, have I sold 12 items in that transaction because someone's bought 12 months in one transaction, or have I just sold one item and then it's just going to, the person's going to buy 12 times. So you got to figure out, you know, what is it, an item? Have you sold 12 of those in one sale, or have you just sold, you know, one sale is one item being a monthly subscription, one, but the person buys again the next month, the next month, the next month. So there's different ways that calculate the same end figure. It's just figuring out how you want to define them for yourself, because how you can change, manipulate, manage, market the differences. So you got to kind of think that through. And this is where a lot of people do get stuck, is they kind of go, oh, hang on, this person bought from me, they subscribed to a 12-month subscription. So we charged their credit card 12 times, but we only made one sale to them. Well, then the math gets really skewed to go, okay, what we sold them was a $1,000 subscription. So the average item price is $1,000. We only sold, they bought 12 months from us. So that's 12 items in the sale. We charge a credit card 12 times. Now, if you do $1,000 times 12 times 12, that's not really your actual overall revenue. You massively skew your numbers. So you kind of got to get it right. And it takes a bit of time to really think that through. So I think that's where people do get the clarified stage a little bit confusing. So you've got to really take the time to think, okay, how do we differentiate each of these? So when you do look at a period of time, you go, okay, average item price times items per sale times transactions in that period should give you your overall revenue figure. Now, if it doesn't match up, you've done something wrong with the way you define it and you've misdefined some things.
Perfect. That makes sense. All right. So if that first step here really is just getting very clear on the, you know, exactly what everything means, what happens next?
So then I think the best next step is actually go and capture what you're currently doing to work these different things. So, you know, you go and spend time going, okay, what is driving suspects to our website, for example? Okay, we're currently doing AdWords. We're currently doing SEO. We're doing magazine advertising. We're doing an A-frame out the front of our business. Just go and actually grab and collate and capture all different things you're doing in each of the different levers. You know, what are you currently doing? How do you convert a customer? Okay, we use a proposal. Okay, go and grab one of your proposals and just put it in that little bucket. So you kind of have this collection of all the stuff you're currently doing to actually manipulate, manage, improve, maintain each of these seven areas. And literally on the post-it notes, write through, okay, these are the things we're doing. And you put them in that area of the framework on your whiteboard or on your A3 paper to go, okay, currently we're doing this to actually grab suspects in the door. Because you might find, oh, look, we're not really asking anybody to try on a pair of shoes. We don't really have a system in place to get people to go into the change rooms. Okay, so we're not really capturing or doing anything right now to encourage suspects to go to prospects. All we're doing really right now is letting someone walk in the door and then we're trying to sell them. We don't have anything happening in the moment in between. So you might have nothing in that particular square or that section when you actually go to capture that. You know, right now, Athlete's Foot, as an example, when I worked there, they had that whole suspect prospect conversion sort of thing going really, really well. Although they didn't call it that at the time, it was there. But they had nothing proactive to really drive people back into the store. They weren't doing anything in the transactions lever. They just hoped someone came in and bought a pair of shoes and they had a good experience and just hope and pray someone would come back and buy again in 6 months' time. You know, whereas what they could have done is they could have said, and they're doing this sort of stuff now, is, hey, let me email you a copy of your invoice. What's your email address? So they're capturing the email address, invoice, sending a copy of the receipt or the invoice, and then put them in an email sequence. If they buy a running shoe, they get, you know, emails about running shoes and running tips. If they buy basketball boots, they get a series of emails about basketball boots. So they're proactively reaching out to these people, these customers, to get them to come back and transact again. Maybe as a SaaS, like, what does Netflix do to convince you to keep your subscription up? What are they currently doing in that scenario? Well, they could go and look at the emails they send over, you know, currently in place right now that when someone signs up to their subscription, what are they actually doing? You know, what are McDonald's doing to drive people to come back again? You know, if you've got the app now, the McDonald's app, they're sending push notifications. So they might go and grab those. But historically, they probably didn't do anything. So by going through this capture motion, you actually figure out what am I currently doing in each of these areas. And you'll, again, probably find some gaps where you're not putting post-it notes because you're not doing something in one of these areas. You know, maybe you don't train your sales staff to ask, would you like fries with that? Maybe your proposals currently is what you're doing to actually convert prospects, but there's nothing in your proposal that suggests additional items. You know, you buy a phone system. Here are three additional items. Would you like a headset? Would you like a conference phone? You know, what are you doing to get people to buy additional items at the same time? So that's what you're capturing. You're going through and seeing what systems you have in place. And it really is, it's about the systems. You're capturing the systems you have that drive each of these areas. And you'll probably find there's not some systems. You don't have a system where you train your staff to bring out a pair of shoes, but also bring some shoe cleaner and talk about how shoe cleaning can actually help the life of your shoes. Those kind of things, where are the systems in place to drive that?
I can see as someone goes through this, they'll just get a little bit of an aha moment here or there, because the holes in the business will become immediately obvious to them. And if they park in the back of their brain as well, the aim of the game is to have, as you said, the systems in place for each one of these so that they can then start to happen without you, the business owner, involved. Because effectively what we've talked about here is basically how the business makes money. If you can systemize it and have money come into the business that's not dependent on the owner, that's when you'll start to get some magic happening.
Yeah. And because these are the seven drivers of profit for any business, you have to try and have things in place and systems around each one of these on a regular basis. And obviously the idea to grow is putting new systems and additional things in place for more touch points along the journey for the customer.
Yeah, perfect. All right. So we've started to define, capture, and then, now we're kind of up to that step number three.
You don't want to calculate stuff because, as you alluded to earlier, you can't, it's a bit of an overused cliche, but you can't manage what you don't measure. So if we're looking at these 10% wins, if we're looking at saying, okay, I want to grow each of these levers by 10%, to get that doubling of my profit, you need to know what your starting point is. So you need to calculate how many suspects have I got in the last quarter, the last month, the last year, or whatever period of time you want to analyze. And you go through this and you go, okay, that's it. How many people became prospects? What happens between suspects and prospects, and how many actually take that step as a percentage? And you go through each of these and try and calculate, what is my average item price? What is my average number of items per sale? How often do customers come back and buy from me again in this particular period of time? And what a lot of people find is they're not measuring some of this stuff. You know your overall traffic, you might know your overall conversion rate, and you might know your final profit figure, but you don't have each of these areas calculated in their own unique way. And that's where you find a lot of big gaps. So people go through this and try and calculate each of these areas and write them on their post-it notes and stick it to their canvas, because you might know, actually, I don't know how many people are actually, what our average number of items per sale are. I don't know if people are buying a phone system plus a headset. I'm not sure if people are buying shoes and the cleaners, because you might have a system in place to get someone to suggest, would you like fries with that? But if you're not measuring it, how do you know if it's actually working and if you should change, adjust, or tweak or pivot some of these systems in place that are meant to be driving these areas? If you're not calculating it, you're not sure what's going on. I remember a while ago when we, with our e-commerce store, it's a couple of years ago now, we ran AdWords, and we still do, to drive traffic, to drive suspects to our e-commerce stores. And it was a long weekend, a holiday here in Australia. So we paused our ads over that long weekend period, because there was no point running ads on a Monday when no one's going to be here to answer phone calls and make sales and things like that. So we turned the ads off. Anyway, for whatever reason, we came back on that Tuesday or Wednesday morning and forgot to turn our ads back on. So if we were doing this at the time, we would have captured, we're running AdWords to drive suspects to our business. And we would have gone, yep, great, fantastic, and beat our chest. Because we luckily sat down regularly through our system to actually recalculate and make sure we're on track with our targets for each of these seven areas, we realized after about 4 days that, why has there been a massive dip in our suspects? We went and looked and went, we forgot to turn our AdWords campaign back on. So calculating some of these things actually helps you manage where you actually are. I heard another story recently where I was talking to someone. They were like, yep, great. We have a beautiful email campaign that manages our transactions per customer. We have a system in place when someone buys from us. We have emails that go out and drive people back into our business. And it works beautifully. We spent $10,000 on marketing and a copywriter to do it. I'm like, great, cool. Let's get some stats. And the guy went off to sort of speak to his assistant or the office manager to go, can you get some stats on how this has been tracking so we can calculate where we're at? And he's beating his chest about it. And sheepishly, about 10 minutes later, the receptionist walks back in and goes, that hasn't run for about 4 months. The credit card expired and Susie used to manage that's obviously left and no one's checking your emails. And that sequence hasn't run for 4 months. It's like, a lot of the time people find through this health check process, stories like that of just like, as soon as they start calculating these areas, they realize that what they thought was running, because they've collected, here's the emails we ran, here's the PDF printout of all the emails we spent 10 grand to do. So aren't these emails fantastic? But until you take that next step and actually calculate what's actually happening in the results, you don't really know what's going on. And this is a big win for a lot of people when they go through this part of the system of doing the business health check.
And I feel like there's probably two things that stand out to me right straight away. Firstly is, I mean, this would be perfect to have all of these metrics in on your dashboard, so inside your business, and then building a system around the collection of the data and the reporting of this. Mm-hmm. So then that way you might get, you know, on a weekly basis or depending on how much volume's going through the business, maybe it's a daily basis, and then you look at your dashboard, and really what dashboards are for is to you start to collect, watch and see the trends happening. And then when you start to see an area that's starting to dip, like Pete said, maybe your suspects drops off, then the next question is you drill into a KPI and go, okay, well, what are the things that make up that particular KPI? What are the numbers, the systems, the actions, the things that are happening underneath that? And then that becomes a great way for debugging problems and situations. I know for someone, the first time that they're running this, it's not about debugging necessarily something that's happened, as an action. Like initially, we're just getting the baseline down. But once you start monitoring on a regular basis, then these little effectively alarms will go off for you because you're like, why is that tanked? What's changed?
Yeah. Well, I missed step four. Step four is normally, I don't know why it hasn't popped up. Sorry about that one. Step four is then correcting anything that's broken. So, part of the health check is getting that baseline set scenario. But then part four is literally going through and actually correcting anything that's broken. You know, you can keep moving forward once you've done the health check to grow your business and come up with new creative ways to actually, get your 10% wins in the seven areas. The last part of that health check is just, fixing the symptoms. If you go to a doctor to do a health check, before he tells you to go and, go to the gym and get fit, he's going to obviously try and fix the problem you've actually got with, some medication or some bandages to try and fix the bleeding before you go and get fit. So before you go and create new things and create new habits and new routines, you want to fix and correct anything that's actually broken. So that's kind of the idea of that four-step system for doing the health check.
Yeah. So that final step and around the correcting, once we've got these numbers down, what do you have any suggestions on how someone would navigate through that? Like some things are going to be more obvious than others, but how do you kind of know where to focus?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, as you're going through and doing the calculations, you realize, oh my God, the AdWords has been off for 4 months. Turn that back on. That's correcting that problem.
Yeah.
Our email credit card expired in the system. We better go and fix that up. So it's correcting easy things that you kind of figure out are broken. Yeah. What you find is as you go through this, you might see a canvas that looks like this at the end of the day on your whiteboard or on your wall, where you've got blue is all the, the clarification of what each of these things are. Green may be what you've actually done to actually capture each of the things, and purple is your calculation. So you can sort of see here that this business, they kind of know that, they have a prospect, which is that second field across. They know how to clarify a prospect. They know how to, they're capturing it. They've currently got a system in place to tell their sales staff to say, hey, come on, try on a pair of shoes. But they're not calculating how many people go into the change rooms. So they can't, there's no purple stat there. So what they do is they go, okay, let's go and fix out and fix that hole. So you want to fix the gaps in the canvas of where there's things not there that right now, okay, cool. We don't even know how to define what a prospect is for our business. We're not doing anything at all to drive prospects in our business. So let's think about what that's going to be and let's put something in place and drive that. So that's kind of the big visual you get here really nicely is where are the gaps? You can see the holes in your business. And that's the benefit of this health check, doing it visually. You map it out, use a post, clearly see where there's gaps and where to go and fix and tweak and improve.
And then I imagine once people then start to get the systems in place for each one of these things, and then it all starts to happen without the business owner, where we go, right, here is our base operating system. Then it's a case of the business owner starting to work on rather than in. And you probably go deeper. And I know that's a lot of work people do with you when they do consulting, which is then to then identify, okay, well, where in the canvas, now we've got all of our basics covered, where is our next biggest leverage point?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that, there's almost two systems here. One is just the system of doing the health check to kind of get that baseline scenario. You should always be doing a spring clean health check of, you know, of your house, of your business, of yourself, of your finances, all that sort of stuff. But then the system is then, okay, what's the system I'm going to put in place to regularly try and get my 10% wins? Because it's all great to kind of have a system in place to kind of see where you are today and kind of get an understanding of what is driving the profits of my business today. Because, you know, if I'm just running around with my head cut off trying to run this business, I don't really know what's driving profit. This health check gives you that visual identification of each of the drivers. But then you want to put a system in place to, you know, repeatedly and regularly work on improving one and all of these seven areas. So it might be the first Monday of every month, you have a system in place where you pull in your team together, your marketing team, your managers, and you go, okay, guys, this month we're working on increasing our prospects. And you pull the team together and you have a system in place of going through, okay, this is what we're currently doing to drive prospects. How do we drive some more? What are some new creative ways we can implement? And then you come together as a team, you work through that, you pick one idea, and then you go off and put a system in place for that idea of how that idea is going to actually happen every month, get measured, get managed on a consistent basis. The next month you come back and you go, okay, cool. This month we're going to work on improving our transactions per customer. So we're going to try and figure out how to get our customers to come back more regularly and purchase again. Pull a team in, have a process of going through that, pick the idea that's going to drive more transactions. It might be an email campaign. It might be a phone call from the salesperson at 30 days. It might be this, it might be that, whatever it is. And you figure out, okay, great. How do we put a system in place in our business to make sure these emails go out regularly? How do we put a system in place in our business to make sure that 30 days after every sale, we have our salesperson call to try and get that person to buy again or buy more or whatever it might be. So you have a system in place to kind of work regularly on your business using the framework. And then out of each of those sessions, you put another system in place to drive that 10% win. So you're consistently adding new 10% wins that just continue to grow and grow the profit of the business.
I know when someone goes through some of the other sessions, they'll start to see how these fit together. And one that just jumps out to me right now is EOS Entrepreneur Operating System from Traction. We did that in the previous summit. We had Daniel Davis come and talk about that, who sort of heads up the Australian arm of that. And they talk about getting, you know, the cadence, the rhythm of the meetings for the team and identifying what the 90-day big rocks are and what are the things that support that. So I think something like, you know, the Seven Levers framework and Canvas would work really well as, you know, okay, well, these are the things that we're working on in this particular sprint.
Exactly. That's exactly how you do it. Absolutely. And you kind of pick in this 90 days, we're going to pick these three levers and we're going to do a sprint on these three areas and try and get something in place to get a 10% win in each of them that's consistent. Yeah. And that's the idea. So you don't want to sort of just run a campaign that kind of gets a spike in conversions or a spike in transactions. You want it to be consistent because if you level up, that's when that growth and that increased profit stays consistent in your business. That's the system part of it. You know, running a campaign is great. You want to put a system in place that gives you that consistent boost in each of those areas as you continue to sort of cycle through them.
Yeah, rock and roll. Well, in the tail end, I don't know if there are any final pieces we want to cover off before I start to point people in the right direction. Definitely getting a copy of the book is a must. I've got my copy. It is right here. So I've got my copy right there. And I know everybody should be thinking about getting their copy across Amazon and we'll put the links across to the site. But yeah, any tail end thoughts and where should people go to find out more?
Yeah, look, you know, cadencebook.com is probably the best place to start. It's got information on the book and a whole bunch of stuff there. But really, I think the whole idea for people to take away from is, you know, just take a moment and think, what framework do you have that focuses your attention when you're working on your business? And I think so many business owners don't have that baseline blueprint or framework to focus their attention when they're trying to grow their profit. There's obviously all the day-to-day stuff that runs a business, and that's critically important. You've got to be there to put out fires and babysit the staff and everything in between. But when you have that time to get away from your business, if you don't have a framework like the seven levers to kind of keep you focused on the things that drive profit, you won't have that traction you need to kind of grow because you need that roadmap. And this, I think, can be that to sort of drive that for you so you know where the systems should sit within your business.
Yeah, rock and roll. Well, thanks, Pete, for being, you're always so generous with your knowledge and time. And I know people will get a lot of wisdom and insight from the info that you shared today. Check out the book and we'll link over to a couple of Pete's websites as well. And thanks again, Pete, for your time.
Anytime, mate. Happy to help.